know, for us to get a lot of wins, you know, it take a team. You know, one guy cannot do it. So it take us as a team to come together and believe in each other, you know, and try to fight for each other and be there for each other. So,
I mean, we answered right back. I mean, they put up runs and then we did. And, I mean, that's huge. I mean, our pitchers did a good job of holding them down. And our pen did an amazing job. So, I mean, it was just a real good win all around.
Today we come back and pretty much everything went pretty doggone good, other than a couple of misplays that, you know, don't normally happen. So it was an exciting ball game. Our bullpen was fantastic and you know, a good win for the ball club.
The following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Rise and shine, folks. Welcome into X's and Bros on this Wednesday. It is the 29th day of July 2020. As we welcome you here for your morning drive from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. here all across the Michigan Sports Network. Danny Cahalan and Ryan Elke in the studio. I am Anthony Bellino. Plenty of ways for you to get in contact with us this morning. You can text the keyword sports radio to 21,000. That's sports radio to 21,000. Our Auto Value guest line, 313-396-5527. That's 313-396-5527. You can find us on Twitter at XB Mornings for the show. I am at AC Bellino. Dan is at Dan in the studio, and Ryan is at Ryan L underscore Key. We're also on Facebook at X's and Bros. And of course, good morning to all of our television viewers as well on Comcast Channel 900. Don't forget, if you miss any portion of the show, you can find our podcast wherever you get your podcast. SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, etc. iHeartRadio, it's all there, and we're looking forward to it. So if you want to check it out, you can do so, and also be sure to log on to michigansportsnetwork.com. Gentlemen, Dan, Ryan, how are we this morning?
I'm good. The Tigers got another win. Can you believe it? Playoff bound.
This is a roller coaster day to day. Are we going to do this all day long or all season long?
Well, we're just waiting until the Tigers district gets eliminated like Miami did, and then we'll see what happens. It's turning into Hunger Games.
I was wondering where you're going with district, and then I thought about it, and I was like, oh, I see what he's saying. I get the reference. Hunger Games. It's good. The wave of emotions from where I was at Friday to where I was at Sunday to where I was at yesterday, to now where I'm at today, after each one of these games. Whew.
It's because we went 4 months without feeling any of these emotions, and now it's back in full swing.
And the problem is there's two other sports coming back, but we really don't have that much, you know, emotional stuff going on with them. I mean, sure, we want to see the NBA. We want to see NHL, but the Tigers are our only team playing. Right. They're our only team playing, so we're going. That's all. That's seriously, like, every day I'm like, okay, when do the Tigers play? When do I see? You know, are they going to make the playoffs today? Or are they not?
Then that's where I'm having a lot of trouble right now. Are they going to make the playoffs today or not? Because that's exactly how I'm evaluating this team on a day to day basis. This isn't going to be healthy. This is not going to be good. Because there's nobody's going to make the playoffs tomorrow, right? But it feels like, oh, man, they're going to do it. Oh, no, they're not.
They've played 8% of the season already. Does it seem like that? No.
No.
So, I mean, in three more...
we're not used to it.
In 3 weeks, half the season's going to be done. And we really might know if they're going to make the playoffs.
That's crazy.
That, and the weird thing is, it felt like the season has been going on a lot longer than, like, Friday. It's like I've been looking at, like, my fantasy baseball, like, man, this guy only has 10 at bats. He's not playing that much. No, they've only played 3 games.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's just been, like, weird feeling, just kind of like it feels like I don't know, just because maybe I've been invested and have watched like 30 baseball games already in
really?
The past like 4 days. Oh yeah.
Oh, he said, oh,
yeah. I've been engulfed in base, so maybe that's why I felt like it's been a lot longer of a season than 5 days, because also you've had a whole team pretty much been eliminated in 5 days in Miami.
Yeah, that's it has been the strangest thing what went down there in Miami. And how they handled it, how Major League Baseball is handling it right now. A big change in the schedules as well for teams across the board. And Miami's mayor saying that, hey, when they come back after their week off, if they come back, they might not be allowed to play home games. So there's a lot to get to. I am so glad that there are sports back. So glad, because there, I mean, the you know, all of the conversations outside of sports are, they're pretty tiring. Especially when you don't know any of the final results. You know, that part gets a little, that part will wear you down. And it just doesn't, it's difficult. Also, tomorrow we'll get the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational at the TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. Brooks Koepka is the reigning champion of that tournament. And the Barracuda Championship in Tahoe will be taking place as well. So we have two PGA Tour events. Colin Morikawa, you remember that name from the playoff with Justin Thomas. What tournament was that? Oh, geez, now I'm gonna have trouble remembering what it was. But those
that was the Workday.
Played off with Justin Thomas.
The Workday Open.
The Workday.
It was the first week at Muirfield.
That's right. So the former Workday champion is a champion there at the Barracuda Championship as well. All right, real quick, we'll get you caught up with some of the things that are happening across the world of sports. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
All right, let's take a look at how about the LA Chargers. Joey Bosa agreeing to an extension. 5 years, $135 million for that young man. Wow. The Seahawks are going to wait on signing Jamal Adams to an extension, which I think is a good idea. And in part because, which Jamal Adams are you going to get? You going to get the one that's a standout player, or the disgruntled one that can't put his phone down? You know, sometimes that kind of stuff weighs more than talent. And we'll see what happens. But Packers wide receiver in Michigan, Wolverine Devin Funchess, has opted out, citing his family's health. Guys are dropping like flies up in New England. Not only Dante Hightower, who we mentioned yesterday, but Patrick Chung has also opted out of the 2020 season. Running back Brandon Bolden is planning on opting out. Offensive tackle Marcus Cannon, Danny Vitale, and a reserve offensive lineman Najee Torin all decided to opt out for the Patriots. I got to wonder what's going on there.
There's are you suggesting the Patriots are not doing what they're supposed to be doing?
What's and, that?
I mean, if a lot of the players are Patriots, maybe they aren't. Maybe the players are getting to the facility and there's people there that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Or maybe he's the evil genius. Bill Belichick's like, hey, everybody, slowly but surely start opting out. No big deal. We'll play whoever we can. We might have to take an L this season. We might have to get that kid Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, really? That's what you're claiming? After they just signed Cam Newton?
I mean, if
which doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they signed Cam. I don't know why they did that.
If they were really tanking, they wouldn't have cut Brian Lewerke this week.
Rockets guard Eric Gordon could be out for up to 2 weeks with an ankle injury, according to sources. He went down pretty hard on it yesterday. The Clippers' Montrezl Harrell yet to return to Orlando, unlikely to face the Lakers. So he's a guy that his partner in crime, Lou Williams, says that Montrezl Harrell could definitely be one of those guys that gets one of the he would be willing to share a sixth man of the year award with Montrezl Harrell. Penguin Sidney Crosby had fun as the NHL returned with some exhibition games last night. We'll talk about that coming up. Austin's Public Health Authority is skeptical of Texas' plan to allow 50% stadium capacity. Of course they are. The NCAA is allowing all major football teams to open their season on August 29th. That seems pretty ballsy right there. MLB postpones all Marlins games through Sunday, so the Marlins are going to be on the bench for quite some time. And the Yankees voted unanimously to resume their schedule versus the Orioles. We're going to get into all that and much more here on X's and Bros, just getting started on this Wednesday morning here on the Michigan Sports Network.
Bill Simonson here for Tom Rosenbach, the managing partner at Bean Garter. He wanted me to get the message out that Bean Garter is here to help if you've applied for a loan through the Paycheck Protection Program and need assistance applying for forgiveness. Bean Garter and their professionals will work with you to prepare a draft application, estimate your loan forgiveness amount, and certify how you used your loan funds. They have the knowledge and experience to make sure you're getting the most loan forgiveness possible. They make it easy so you have more time to focus on what's important, taking care of your business and your people. Learn more at beangarter.com/COVID-19 relief. You can learn more on how the professionals at Bean Garter can help you in applying for forgiveness with paycheck protection programs. Go to beangarter.com/COVID-19 relief.
Attention, Davenport University graduating class of 2020. A large number of your fellow Davenport 2020 graduates are not happy with Davenport's current plan for graduation ceremonies and would like change. If you agree and feel change needs to be made, join our Facebook group, Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation. That's Protest for Change DU 2020 Graduation on Facebook. Other college graduates are getting more. Let Davenport's administration know your hard work deserves better.
If you or your family is touched by autism, learn more about Freddy's Foundation at #PopTheTap at FreddyThePizzaMan.com. That's F-R-E-D-I, ThePizzaMan.com. Or email FreddyThePizzaMan@gmail.com.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino joined by Danny Cahalan and Ryan Elke all across the great state of Michigan. And good morning to our good friends in the Glass City as well. Ways for you to get in contact with the show and share your thoughts and opinions. You can text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Our auto value guest line 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. Of course, we're on Twitter at XB Mornings for the show. I'm at AC Bellino. Dan is at Dan in the studio. And Ryan Elke is at Ryan L underscore key. Now, the Detroit Tigers with a big-time victory, 4-3 over the Kansas City Royals last night. All scoring done in the third inning. Zeros across the board throughout the rest of the game. But the third inning, that is where all the action was at yesterday. And another slow day at the plate for this Tigers team that hasn't been able to do a whole lot when it comes to manufacturing just hits. But they did hit a home run, and that's important because we're on home run tracker right now. They hit a home run in each of their first five games. It has been eons since they've been able to do that to start a season, and obviously this season a little bit different than most. But as we were talking about when we first opened up the program this morning, is it feels as if the chase is on every single night. And this is one of those topics that, you know, leaning back a little bit to an earlier discussion about the urgency of sports, and that's what makes football so great and so highly watched here in this country, is that you just can't play back-to-back-to-back-to-back games. You just can't. So the shortened season of a football team, there's so much more emphasis per game, right? And the Tigers, five games through this thing, as Dan already mentioned, you know, what would you say, 8% of the season's already done?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is coming up quick. This is coming up quick. And it was the Tigers have hit at least one home run in each of the first seven games of the season for just the seventh time since 1901. My goodness.
Did you say through the first five games of the season?
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of surprising. Five games is really not that long of a streak, a home run streak. To start a season,
to begin a season.
Because normally the Tigers are starting
in April.
Know, it's cold.
It's cold.
They're in cold weather cities, not only here, but, you know, the last few years, every division team has been outside. So Yeah, I guess that's understandable.
The last time this has happened was 2017, when Detroit opened the season with a home run in 13 consecutive games. So they got a little bit of hunting and a little bit of chasing to do there from the Tigers bats. But it was a pretty interesting day at the ballpark. I mean, you heard Gardenhire, if you've been tuned in since the top of the hour, you heard Gardy talk about, you know, a good win for the club. And man, I'm telling you what, I think we got to look back to bullpen after Garcia was pulled 3 innings into the game. Why does it feel like every outing is so short for every pitcher? That's the other thing. Like the season length is shortened. The actual game, it's not like the game was cut down to 6 innings. Like, why are starting pitchers only going 2 and 3 innings?
Well, because they're throwing a ton of pitches. It's not, we really haven't seen a quality start from any of the Tigers yet.
42 pitches? When I was a kid, guys threw complete games on back-to-back nights with a wad of cha in their mouth and hit 400 at the plate. The old polo grounds. I'm sure Freddie will get a kick out of that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Garcia threw 3 innings. He gave up 3 hits, 3 runs, only 2 of which were earned. He struck out 3. Did give up a home run, threw a total of 42 pitches before he was pulled.
I think part of the reason going into it is that you right now you have the expanded roster, 30 players. So you have the extra bullpen arms.
Just trying to
one
figure
sign
out
of
who
trouble.
You want to keep.
Why pull them? You use one of your arms. You have the players right now. And as that roster will shrink down in the coming weeks, we'll probably see starters going a little longer.
I mean, I would hope so. Because I mean, 3 innings, I don't think that bodes really well for, you know, long-term health and success of your pitching staff. But Cisnero threw his inning. He took care of business. Tyler Alexander got the win. He ended up going 2 innings. He did surrender 2 hits. He struck out 2. He threw 22 pitches in those 2 innings. Then it was Cisnero, who I mentioned, who went for an inning, struck out 1. Soto came in. He picked up a hold. He pitched 1 inning, struck out 2, threw a total of 8 pitches. Buck Farmer came in. He gets a hold. 1 inning pitched. Zeros across the board on 9 pitches. And then Jimenez, he came in to close it. He'll get credit for the save. 1 inning, 1 strikeout, 0 across the board the rest of the way. A total of 8 pitches.
See, there was 2 holds yesterday in that game. Are you happy with that? Or do
there
they deserve?
There were 3. Cisnero got 1, too.
Okay, so there's 3 holds. Do they deserve anything more than that, or are you happy with the hold? You've been complaining that, you know, some
I'm
of these relievers don't.
Is what's
they
happening
don't,
right
no,
now.
I'm just asking. Is a hold? Are those holds acceptable to you? Because you want something more than that. Do those guys deserve more than that?
No, I think the hold is the right. It's the right way. It's the only way to score it, really. But the right way to score it. Tyler Alexander gets the win. Garcia got a no decision. Even though he had the highest. I don't even think it was the highest. He had a game score of like 46 or something like that. And the reason that this is being brought up is because there is the idea about middle relievers in wins and losses and how exactly are we scoring this thing the right way?
Especially
always,
now is what you're
has
saying.
Has always been a question of mine.
Right. And now, especially with openers, I mean, it isn't so prevalent with the Tigers, but you know, you watch the Rays and I would
openers,
maybe
success.
three out of
what do you
five
have, can openers.
Right. Right. Like 3 out of every 5 starts for the Rays is probably what they consider an opener. So 2 to 3 innings, and then the stretch guy, I guess, you know, the guy that they want to go 4 or 5 innings to get to the back end of their bullpen comes in. So yeah, it is, they might have to figure out a different way to score baseball, to give guys credit for pitching performances.
And I don't even know, and here's the thing, folks, I don't have the answer, and I'm okay like admitting that, like I don't have an answer here for something like this. I just, and a one of the games, scoring baseball in how in the world a guy could pitch even before the term opener became a thing, how you could pitch six innings and get no decision on it, like you pitched a majority of the game. And some people would say, well, yeah, but I mean, oh, okay, if it was 0-0 through six, you know, and then the myriad of things happened to where you would get a no decision, and let's say your team won the game on a final score of 2-1 because of, you know, the bullpen comes in and finishes their work. My argument in that scenario would be, well, throughout those six innings, I mean, if you held the other team scoreless, why wouldn't you get something? I'm not, and it doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? It's not as if, you know, you win the game or you get a hold and you come back and celebrate with a cupcake. You know what I mean? Like, there's no prize.
Right. And then people will say, well, he got a quality start. Well, a lot of people don't really care what it, you, in a quality start, you can give up three runs, and that's a, is that really quality if you're giving up three runs?
If your offense is on that day, I guess it doesn't kill you. You know what I mean? Like, you, it's not like your effort was detrimental to the club's success, but I'm just looking for, because in the numbers, right, numerically speaking here, Baseball Reference guys, like, is there a way to kind of quantify, especially with the new term of opener, guys that will just start a game, go a couple innings, and just get things rolling a little bit, as Dan mentioned, their bullpen days. You know, I just, I don't know. Is there a way to kind of quantify and be able to use some of this data to make us smarter about the game of baseball? We'll step aside. We'll be right back with more of X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network.
What will you do with tomorrow? Will you use it to make life better for you and your family? Will you spend it on an adventure, traveling somewhere new and experiencing something profound? Will you use tomorrow to rest, to work, to hope, to love? Your tomorrow, like every tomorrow, will be filled with opportunity and potential. And your tomorrow, like every tomorrow, will unfold in part because of your brain. There will be moments tomorrow that can be seized by you, driven by you, and defined by you. Your brain can lead you there. Your brain can make tomorrow memorable. Whether your efforts are realized by thousands or felt only by you, tomorrow matters, and tomorrow is worth happening.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. They'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on Rood.
Huge here for Watson Rockford. The most exciting new Ram truck store in Michigan has joined the Watson Country family of dealerships, known for the best selection and best price on new Ram trucks anywhere in Michigan. Watson Rockford is also an exclusive Business Link dealer, and that means they know trucks, including a full line of Ram commercial trucks like ProMaster. At Watson Rockford, we don't expect your business. We do everything we can to earn it. Get your best price on your new Ram or Jeep during the summer clearance event. Watson Rockford, off of 131, exit 101, and M50.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino, Danica Halen, Ryan Elke riding with you on your morning commute this morning. No matter who you are, where you are, or how you may be listening, we appreciate you making us a part of your day each and every weekday morning from 6 to 9. Plenty of ways to get in contact with us. Text the keyword Sports Radio to 21000. That's Sports Radio to 21000. Call into our Auto Value guest line, 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. And, of course, you can tweet at us at XB Mornings. Anthony, remember Monday, I mentioned every time Joe Jimenez comes in to close a game, I leave the room. Well, props last night for a good job. No walks, no hits, no homers. He also leads MLB in saves with three. I still left the room last night when he came in and still will. That's from Stephen Warren. Steve, that's a good safety precaution. What's most important when he comes into the game is your own personal health. The hell with what he does out there. You got to make sure that you're safe. So leave the room.
It's clearly working. So, I mean, yeah, keep leaving the room.
It works for his health.
Last night, it was CJ Krohm dropping the easiest pop-up in the world. And then we had to rely on Austin Romine and Scoop for a tremendous play.
You know, there have been some very interesting plays made by the Tigers in this young season thus far. You know, when you had who was out in right field, threw the ball straight into the dirt? Was it Maben?
Cam Maben, yes. Yeah. You ask that every day now, just so we have to say it.
You know, it's like there's certain things that happen from time to time. You're like, you have to attribute that to the fact that the guys have not been playing.
Yeah, that's like, overthinking for sure.
Yeah. You can do as much work as you want. You can put the ball on a tee. You can get in the cage. Whatever you did in the quarantine, right? You know, maybe some. There is nothing like being at the actual park, having to field a fly ball, having to make a throw, having to field a grounder in live game action with the pressure. There's nothing like it. And it's complete. That's a complete mental error right there. Literally just overthinking it.
Well, and the thing is like about the crowd. Like if there's a crowd there, just based on crowd reaction, you know if that guy is trying to advance.
Yes.
So, you know, Cameron Maben, he goes down and he gets the ball and he can hear based on the crowd that the guy is rounding second. Well, then, you know, this time he puts his head up and the guy stops at second or whatever. And then you're thinking, you know, and then you just throw the ball into the ground. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. It stinks that it happened on TV, but it's, you know, we've all made a dumb play in some sort of athletics. Let's admit it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then there are plays that happen that, and I don't point that out for Maben. I know that it went crazy, like the Tigers viewing experience or whatever it is, or like being a Tigers fan, all the stuff that was floating around the internet. It was one game. I look at it a lot like the butt fumble as well with Mark Sanchez. Like sometimes you have a play that happens with a guy, and I don't want to say that, you know, people like they're known for it, but you know, people remember that play. And then there's a human element to this as well, that these kind of things stay with you. And you imagine one of your worst, most embarrassing moments at the office, like in the sales room. And it's not just office talk, it's national talk. And it's an interesting dynamic when you talk about the human psyche and how professional athletes have to be able to deal with this. That's why so many people rely on sports psychologists in order to, you know, kind of, you know, give them the advantage, if you will, on how to handle their day to day. Now, also, in regards to this, Dan, you had just said something about the crowd being there and about how that can actually help you identify what's happening in a game. And it is weird. It's eerie. It's eerie. I said this about opening day at Comerica, and I'll probably continue to think this throughout the rest of the season, because I don't know if I don't. The cardboard fans behind home plate, I think we need. It just looks weird when there's empty seats. So I'm cool with the cardboard fans. I wasn't a big fan at first. I was kind of like, can we remove the net? Maybe somebody chops one foul behind the plate and we'll watch the cardboard get blown to hell. That seems kind of morbid. So I'm just going to stick with, you know what? I'm okay with the cardboard fans.
That already happened, though, with a home run ball. They, like, took out the neck of a cardboard. And then
neck.
It did. It, like, bam. And then another one hit a cardboard cutout of a dog. It was at the Mets Stadium. I can't remember who there was. The Braves hit the dog of Jeff McNeil, the Mets third baseman.
Can I tell you a story?
I have a feeling I have to sit here and listen to it anyway, so yeah.
Well, it has to do with the dog. Last summer, there was a Hens and Hounds night for the Tigers AAA team in Toledo. And on the back end of this, there was fireworks after the game. Now, it's one thing I don't miss about not – since there's no fans, there's no fireworks. So I'm 100% okay with that. That's the best. That's the best news ever from a game day ops crew. Like, no fireworks is the greatest thing ever. Every time a firework goes off, remember, somebody in the grounds crew has to go out there and pick that up. That's just, it's just terrible. I just don't like fireworks. I liked them as a kid, had great experiences, didn't blow my hands off. That was fine. I don't buy fireworks. Not into it. Not my thing. Somebody goes, what are you talking about? You want to go to a fireworks show that, you know, the city's going to put on for 4th of July? Sure, I guess, whatever. But I have no interest in fireworks after sporting events at all. But anyways, they have this firework night on the back end of the Hens and Hounds night. So you could bring your dog to the ballpark because minor league teams do that, right? You bring your dog, they sell a ticket for the dog, then they can boost their attendance numbers. Dude, a dog, they were there, the fireworks happened, and the dog had a heart attack and died during the fireworks show.
That's the worst idea ever. Because if
Take your dog home? Friday nights, there's always fireworks. There's always fireworks.
I mean, if anyone's ever been on the internet on 4th of July, all it is people bitching about how their dogs are going crazy when fireworks are going off. So it's like, hey, when we invite dogs, we're not doing fireworks because guess what? The dogs are going to pee and poop themselves all over the field simultaneously. Like, if you want one collective dump by all the dogs, light off some fireworks.
One collective dump. You might need to save that, and we'll see what happens, you know, on a week-to-week basis for the Tigers if they're going to remain competitive or have one collective dump here. But that did happen. The dog passed away. It was a big ordeal, man. It was just terrible. But when you said that about dogs or whatever, I was like, you know what? That reminds me of fireworks, dogs, post-game fireworks.
A cardboard cutout is much easier to take than a real dog, Anthony.
This is true. But that's what reminded me of the story. Like, yeah, that blew through the dog. And I was like, wow, I remember when a dog was at a park. And then I was like, oh, man, that dog passed away, unfortunately. It was quite the ordeal. Back into baseball. I don't know about the CGI, though. Cardboard fans are fine, I guess. The CGI is a little weird just because it doesn't necessarily match. Like, you had people leaving one of the stadiums early and they were walking across one of the advertisements, one of the tarp advertisements in the stadium that happened last weekend. Would you refer to it as Big Fox?
Yeah, that's what we call it, Big Fox.
Big Fox. It's like Big Facts, but Big Fox.
Well, it's just easier at work.
What are you guys, like Fox Jr.? Is that like Nick Jr. and Nickelodeon?
No, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. That's just what we call it, Big Fox.
Big Fox. Big Fox has CGI fans. And
they only show up at certain cameras.
Right.
Did you notice that?
That is weird. That part, because I was trying to figure out what the hell was going on. And I was like, wait a minute. Okay, so we only have a couple of options here that are going to actually show the fans, the computer-generated fans in the stands, and other cameras are not. And it's like, okay, well, that's interesting. The reason I bring that up with the fans and the cardboard and everything else is because when watching Sixers Mavericks yesterday for a little NBA scrimmage time, it was a good game too, by the way. 2-point game with under 20 seconds to play. JJ Barea, the high flying Puerto Rican, he was out there getting buckets. But the NBA is using a digital background, which drops in and kind of goes, I don't know if it goes 360 because you only get the one camera angle to watch the game from left to right like you normally would on television. And so I'm not sure if it goes 360 or if it's just, you
know,
180 degrees.
I think it's two-thirds. Like it's two-thirds on the ends and then on the opposite side.
Okay, so you wouldn't see it if you were on the player's bench looking back at the camera angle. At the camera that's shooting the game from left to right, you maybe wouldn't see it. I have no idea. I guess it would look kind of weird. But they were using the Sixers logo because the Sixers were the home team in that game yesterday. They were using the Sixers logo on the digital screens, and then it would flip to when the Mavericks had the ball, bringing the ball up the floor, it would say defense, and they would play the song.
Defense.
Cheer, I guess it would be. Not a song. And then they would use CGI fans, too.
They're not like CGI. Are they actual fans? Because there's one video I saw of the Lakers setup that they're like going to be real people that have pre-recorded videos.
Yeah, they looked real. It looked real.
Okay,
just on
so it wasn't just like a virtual stands then. It was like actual people on individual screens, kind of.
It looked like a bunch of people on a Zoom call, like individual
right,
Zooms
exactly,
that
a
were
Zoom
like
call.
Cropped
yeah,
in.
That's a good way to put it.
I still support the idea that they should let in just one fan per team.
A fan off.
Just one fan and like no music, nothing. You just get to hear that one fan go off on every single player.
That
and
fan
they have to own
punched.
It.
That fan would get punched. Like that's what would happen.
Exactly. It'd be great.
Yeah.
Like how many hairline jokes can you get in about LeBron before he like yells back at you?
Not too many. Not in that setting, that's for sure. The plexiglass along the scorer's table is kinda strange. You know, and I haven't heard anything about the people behind the scenes. Like we keep hearing about the players that are tested routinely. But what about all the guys that are working these games? What about the refs? What about the scorer's table? What about what about anybody who's working on that crew? You know, yesterday there was a WNBA game and there were kids running around on the court at halftime. There's three little kids running around. I swear.
Well,
I
they must it. Be in the bubble.
The kids are in the bubble.
They have to be.
Why in the hell are the kids in the bubble?
Maybe because they are. It's a little different when you're a child and you're away from your mom compared to your dad. Let's be honest. So
I mean,
maybe
you so know, so the, what? The NBA players can't have their kids in the bubble. What kind of sexist double standard is this? You don't bring your kid to the bubble. Go to work. No, I'm teasing. If they want to do it, it doesn't matter to me. I just saw three kids running around the court. I'm like, what the hell are these kids doing here?
And then you brought up the people behind the scenes. Well, if they've already been tested and they've been there for 2 weeks and nobody new has come into the bubble and no one has left the bubble, then they really don't have anything to worry about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's just that you have a bunch of people that aren't actual NBA players that are working for the NBA that got the call, got the assignment like, hey, you're part of the pool of, let's say, stats crew, video operations, whatever the case may be, replay, scoreboard, whatever your role is, you were you just in like a game day off court official? Is that what they call them in hockey? They call us off ice officials, where I sit at with the hockey team that I work for because
like
I
a replay in, official is what you're saying,
like a replay official, right? Or like a stats crew member, but were they all put in a pool and then their names drawn to be able to work? Because I was thinking to myself, if they couldn't find anybody, send me down to the bubble. I'll do the show in the morning from the Magic Kingdom. I'll roll up into the wide world of sports and just call games on NBA TV. I would love that. Are you kidding me? Like, stick me in the bubble. Like, I'm ready to go. I want to hang out with the guys, see what's going on in there, eat some chicken wings with Lou Will. Like, I'm ready to ride. Let's go.
Watch LeBron ice his feet in front of the media.
He ices his feet in his knees all the time.
Is that what we're calling it, icing his feet? When
he just happened to have
ice bag out of his shorts or icing his feet?
Just happens to have he sees the chair in the hotel lobby and pulls the chair over for a Zoom call. So he's sitting down, he's got his feet in an ice bath, he's got ice on his knees, and he's in this giant throne yesterday. Is he in good shape or what? He's in great shape. He was in the best shape of his life. You know, I look at him and I'm like, he's only a few years older than me. We gotta get some.
You better start hitting Metal Mondays a little harder.
I mean, I don't know what he's doing. There's a lot of yoga involved. I can tell you that. I mean, it's incredible. But I was thinking about that is if the off court officials, did they get put into almost like a player pool of who would be interested in going down here? If you signed up, like, did you then get like, was there a lottery? Like, I feel like there's a behind the scenes story here that I want to know, because if that would have been an option, I would have went in a heartbeat down to the bubble. And some of these guys are, you know, in their 40s, 50s, 60s. You know, a little bit of risk involved from the, the age range and what is, you know, the older you get, the more COVID-19 seems to have a real detrimental impact on what you got going on there in your life. So that's part of a concern. But I want to say they have maybe between 13 and 18 people at the scorers tables. I mean, to be a media member would be one thing, but to literally work these games all day. If anybody's ever been to, like, I think it was, I'm trying to remember what arena. Maybe it was Joe Louis. I can't remember off the top of my head. Who had the Horizon League downtown? Do you remember that, Dan? Did you have to work any of the Horizon League basketball tournament games?
I did not. Well, are you talking recently?
It would have been 2-3 years ago, max. I think it might have been at the Joe when the Joe was still open.
They had it at LCA 2 years ago. And now it's no longer in Detroit.
I'm trying to figure. I think it was at Joe Louis Arena. I'm just trying to remember because working a basketball tournament where you have multiple teams, multiple players, it's really difficult if you got to work consecutive games from an announcing standpoint because it's not like, you know, it'd be different if you were in the NBA game because you know most of the players. If you work in the league, you know most of the players. I got hired basically as a, you know, that was a one-off type of deal where, you know, you get picked up for one day and you work a few games in that day, but I'm not watching Horizon League basketball at home.
Right. It's like when I work, I do stats for high school basketball championship week.
The MHSAA?
Yes.
And it's so hard.
It's extremely difficult. I am like amazed. You know, I'm sitting next to John Keating and Greg Kelser or Johnny Kane and Tim McCormick, and they're like, they know these kids. I'm like, okay, I understand they have a, you know, a jersey number and a name on their back, but the guy just came down with a rebound with six guys in front of him. How the heck did you know who that was? That blows my mind. I don't know how they do it.
A lot of study, but even if you have multiple guys, you know, multiple teams, you could see five or six guys wearing number 10 throughout the course of the day. What number 10 is that? You know, from an announcing standpoint where if you're doing the in-game stuff, you know, you get used to saying Oakland Golden Grizzlies or Cleveland State Vikings. Then the very next, very next game, you got the, you know, Green Bay Phoenix and whoever else. It's like, it's mind blowing, but I wish I would have been on that stats crew. That's the end of hour number one. We're going to step aside when we return. What if it were the Yankees, not the Marlins? Bob Costas is a little crazy, and should the NFL go into a bubble? We'll get into all that and more here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Bill Simonson here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health University of Michigan Health. Now, they serve the entire state, and they offer up some of the best sports physicians, physical therapists, access to some of the best surgeons, and also a training staff that covers every sport, high school, youth, college, and pro. You can go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. If you or a child of yours has suffered an injury and you want to get back to playing or maybe going out for that nightly jog, they can help. Or maybe your child wants to return to that game they love to play. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. From youth to high school to college to semi-pro and pro sports, they are the leaders when it comes to dealing with sports injuries. Find out more. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. That's metrohealth.net.
It's a new day. A day of winning big at Soaring Eagle. During the $1 million summer. Saturdays now through September. That's right. $1 million in premium play is up for grabs. With six players winning $500 every half hour from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. It's the $1 million summer. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Huge here for my good friend Mark Ewell. He's the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And during this COVID-19 pandemic, they've been trying to find the balance between safety and the return to play for high school athletes throughout Michigan. You can get the latest news from their Lansing office at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook, and online at MHSAA.com. They are currently formulating plans
for the fall, spring, and the entire upcoming school year when it comes to high school sports, including summer trainings and workouts that could lead into scrimmages and practices beginning for fall sports. So again, go to MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, MHSAA on Facebook to get the latest on COVID-19 and its impact on the return of high school sports in Michigan.
These days, we all agree we need to stay safe, and your local Auto Value parts stores want to help. That's why we now offer same-day curbside pickup on thousands of in-stock parts. All you need to do is place your order at myautovaluestore.com. That's myautovaluestore.com. Then call the store when you arrive, and one of our team members will bring the order right out to your vehicle. It's that easy. Shop local. Shop Michigan-based Auto Value and support your friends and neighbors. Auto Value. Service is the difference. We get it.